Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show. The Mark Hoke Show. Going bell to bell with the best in professional wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's get to all the exciting pro wrestling action and bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
All right, everybody. Good morning. Welcome back. It is hour number two of the Mark Hoke Show here on KDOM 101.5 FM, the talk of Las Vegas, streaming worldwide on the Odyssey app and live streaming on YouTube and Facebook at the Mark Hoke Show. And I would suggest that you get in that chat box right now. Just do it. You know why? Because you will be able to communicate with me and my upcoming guest, who's just one hell of a great guy. There's no debating it. He doesn't want you to think he is, but he is. And in fact, I'm going to get him in here right now just because I can't keep him waiting off stage, as the StreamYarder says. Let's get him in here. The president of wrestling, Phil Stamper, joining us on the Mark Hoke Show. Glad to have you back, Phil. What's going on?
Thank you for having me. Now, why shouldn't people like me? I'm a likable guy.
Well, you occasionally do some bad things in the ring, though.
That's on occasion.
That's a
rare occurrence. I haven't been stabbed in the head lately, so, you know, hey, I must be doing better.
Well, but there's a reason that somebody wants to stab you in the head, usually.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
But not lately.
Not lately. Phil Stamper, everybody. He's already on a roll.
There probably will be a reason very soon, but that's a whole other conversation.
That's right. PW Revolver always causing trouble. But you look good in the suit.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, this is how it always goes with him and I. It is just absolutely incredible. But we have a great time. I love having Phil on the show. But we have a lot to talk about, don't we? Holy cow.
A big weekend. Lots of stuff.
Just a little. But I'm going to start somewhat selfishly, but I'm happy you're here because I want to let you clue everybody in a little bit about what this big announcement for Las Vegas means to them. Of course, if you did not hear the news, everybody, and we talked about it in the first hour, WrestleMania 41 is going to be hosted right here in Las Vegas. It will be at Allegiant Stadium, April 19th and 20th. And of course, it's not just WrestleMania for the 2 days of events there. To give you the perspective first on what WWE does, we have NXT Stand and Deliver. We have SmackDown, Raw, a bunch of charity events that they do. The WWE World events and the shop that goes on, and all sorts of things that WWE is putting on as well. But Phil, of course, if you don't know and you don't follow him on Twitter at Trust in Phil, which is really stupid if you're a wrestling fan, because you should be, because Phil puts together this amazing, I mean, and I still don't know how you have the time to do it, but you put together this calendar of all the independent wrestling events that you can find anywhere. So you're on top of all this. Explain to everybody what is going on around a place like, you know, for example, what happened in Philadelphia. What's going on around Philadelphia besides what WWE is doing?
Oh, nothing. So, you know, knowing that you have this huge fan base of people who love wrestling and want to support professional wrestling who are coming there for WrestleMania, it not only starts to become just a celebration of what the WWE is doing, but a larger celebration of professional wrestling. And it becomes a huge economic driver for the region because a lot of fans are coming then not to even attend WrestleMania. They're coming to attend all of these smaller events that maybe are from all across the country that are coming to the city where WrestleMania is going to be at. And now, typically, but not always, typically, there's a showcase of the promotions from that area to take a, you know, take the forefront a little bit and go, hey, let's showcase a little bit of what we have. It's an opportunity for some of the larger independent promotions to come out and show, hey, this is what we also bring in. Hey, we're traveling larger promotions. And then you sort of have a mix of a whole bunch of other stuff. So I want to say around Philadelphia, outside of the Mania events, there was about, I think it was like 75 other events this year. And that was lower from what it was in California last year.
Wow.
That were just independent wrestling related, that were not connected to the WWE. And so it's always interesting then to see who is going to come out there. But, you know, I'm very happy that I'm on a show in Las Vegas, being able to talk about WrestleMania coming to Las Vegas. But Minneapolis isn't happy right now.
No.
Because they were listed to be in the running. And this is, a huge economic driver, because you have all these people coming to not just do the events in the stadium and all these independent events. They're going to your eateries. They're going to your hotels. They're using your resources in the area. And so it becomes this just huge, gigantic pool of resources, economic resources that come into the region. And now it's going to come to Las Vegas, which is great. Does Las Vegas need more money? But that's a whole other conversation. So, you know, I think it's always cool to get the announcement, because now it's like, okay, what else is going to come next? What else is going to be the talk? I mean, people have already been talking about, for WrestleMania, is the main event next year already? Do we know? Is it going to be Cody Rhodes versus The Rock? That's already been sort of planted out there. And so it's, you know, now we get the build for the next 11 months of what's going to happen by the time between now and Mania.
Yeah, and they don't have the numbers in terms of dollar amounts that came in for Philadelphia yet, but I believe LA, I think they had a number of around $125 or $130 million that came into the Los Angeles area for that. And, well, LA is kind of a mess right now. Las Vegas isn't quite the mess that LA is. And when everybody hears Las Vegas, they go crazy. So, and it, you know, it's cheap to fly in here. If you're smart, you know where to stay and how to handle it. And, you know, you can have a great time. And, you know, just when you hear Las Vegas, you just get a little more excited about coming here than maybe going to a lot of other cities. Now, there's just a stigma around I'm going to Las Vegas as opposed to, you know, I'm going to Dallas or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to Tampa or something like that. There's just a little something extra to it. And I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of extra excitement for everybody coming out here to Vegas. I mean, Phil, is that kind of the perspective? I mean, because I've been here 10 years now, so I guess I'm kind of a local, so I'm stuck in that I live here mode. Is that the perception that you have being out east?
So it's, you know, when I went to New Orleans for Mania weekend, and when I went there, I was like, I want to explore New Orleans. I've never been to New Orleans before. I want to take the opportunity to go see some things in New Orleans. Okay, now the rest of the weekend, I'm going to do everything wrestling related. So there is that little bit of like, you're going to experience the city and get a feel of what it's like. You know, and the advantage of a place like a New Orleans or like a Las Vegas is, you know, you have some concentrated centers of where activity is going to occur. And so that is really cool because fans are looking for that. You know, it was harder, though there were a lot of neat things to do, like in a Philadelphia. There's not as the same kind of public transportation. There's not as everything similarly condensed into a small pocketed area. So you had to travel a little bit for things. And that becomes a little harder for your fans to be able to get to do everything. And so depending on, you know, the venues that independent promotions are going to pick and where they're going to be and how it is relational to the strip versus I don't even know exactly where the stadium is for.
It's right next to it.
Okay.
You're literally jumping over the interstate.
Gotcha. Yeah. So everything then in my mind, I'm like, everything's probably going to be pretty well condensed together, easily connected, and that you'll be able to get to and from places pretty quickly. It's going to be a mass of people in my brain. I'm just imagining the swell of the regular crowd in the strip plus then all the wrestling fans.
Yeah. It's going to be sensational. So get ready, everybody. And Phil, you ought to come out for Double or Nothing and scout things out for PW Revolver.
I have been thinking.
Do it. Come, Phil, come stay at my place. You can hang out.
You are starting to convince me. Maybe we need to have an offline conversation about this.
Absolutely.
I am in desperate need of a vacation. And it would be a working vacation because I'd be checking out wrestling stuff.
Right. Done. But. Tell Sammy to dip into the checkbook. Sammy Callahan. He's got back into doing TNA. He's got a little extra cash in his pocket.
To be fair, it's a limited run for the moment, and so hopefully things go for him. And
he was looking good though. By the way, I give him compliments. He has
dropped a lot of weight. And you know, it people are like he took some time off from TNA. He came back. And people don't realize it, but he dropped, I want to say it was like 40 pounds from the time he left to now. And he's, you know, now he's trying something a little different. The presentation of Deathmatch Television or Death Machine Television. That's going to be pretty interesting. I'm waiting to see where that goes.
Yeah, he was quite nasty. I will say that. He looked great. And you can tell him I said that. He did look very good. I was quite impressed with his match.
I'm serious. You're Sammy Callahan. It's fine.
I would tell you, I wouldn't say that on air that he sucked if I thought he sucked, but he really did a good job. I was quite impressed. So give him my best. I was pleased.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there you go. So there's WrestleMania and everything going on with it, but it's like I said, it's going to be for those that are kind of underselling in Vegas. And I think some of the articles that I read really were kind of like, yeah, it's another event. No, this is not just another event.
Right.
I mean, this is, I won't say Super Bowl level event, but this is pretty big. So everybody out here, get ready.
And I haven't done the numbers on, like, I don't know the size I don't know the amount of people that the stadium can hold. Plus then you're going to have the, you know, seating then on the field area where fans are going to be seating. So I don't know the total population of just that times at least two for just then all the other events that are happening for just the WWE, plus then another, you know, quarter to a half of that number for everyone else who's there for all the other events. And even sometimes people will make this a whole vacation. Their families will come with them, but sometimes the families don't want to do the wrestling stuff. So it becomes more people than you are thinking of for just then singularly the wrestling events.
Yeah. And one thing that I'll say too, for anybody out there that's listening, that is just thinking, well, it's Las Vegas, it's casinos. Folks, there is so much more to do here. Mm-hmm. There is. And it's just like everybody comes out here, and if they've never been here before, all they know is the Strip, Fremont Street. And that's all they understand about Las Vegas. And there's a whole valley out here. I mean, we're about 3 million people here. This area is huge. I mean, for those of you that are like outdoor enthusiasts, holy God, there's hiking and parks and just amazing things to do in this place. And I mean, I'm not the big outdoorsy type like I used to be, but there is so much to do, and I'm going to have to start doing some videos just to show people the restaurants and the places to go and everything else. Cause
that may actually be pretty smart. I mean, you are the number one pro wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. And so the fact that you can now go, hey, worldwide market, watch us. And let me showcase a little bit of what else you can check out beyond that. I think it would be excellent.
Oh.
In my mind, I think that's a great idea.
Well, thank you, Phil. I appreciate that. See, I'm even better when you're around, Phil Stanley. Even better when you're around.
I help that with people.
Yeah, you're all right. All right. Well, let's start digging into Backlash a little bit. But, you know, I don't know if I want to talk about the card so much.
Okay.
You know, because it was your typical, if you were to put that in, you know, Des Moines, it's your typical lower level WWE PLE. We got a surprise. You know, the Gorillas of Destiny are back together. That was cute. I mean, what'd you think of that first? I'll give you that. I'll give you that one first. Were you a little caught off guard on that?
More caught off guard by the veracity of the fan base. They were hot. I mean, hot in a good way. I mean, not hot as in temperature. I mean, they had so much energy that they were able to pour out. And it was funny because they were doing chants. but chants in French. And some people weren't connecting to what are these chants? And then sort of like partway through the show, they realized the cadence of what people were saying. And they were like, oh, they're saying like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that almost dominated the match of the first, that almost dominated the very first match on the show because of just that energy that they were feeling. I agree with you to a certain point, because that energy then fed into what was happening on the event. And so I think you saw some better performances from some of the talent, because they had this hot, amazing crowd that was really, letting them feed off of that.
Yeah, it definitely helped. And I guess you're kind of taking me where I wanted to go was the PLEs that are taking place that aren't the SummerSlams, the WrestleManias, you know, the Money in the Banks and so on, the top tier ones. It seems like WWE is now making a concerted effort to take those PLEs and take them around the world. They're making these international events. They're going to places they haven't gone before and apparently charging some pretty hefty ticket prices to do it. And they're getting these crowd reactions because they know they're going to get a hot crowd because they're not there very often. So it makes the product look even better because you're going to Lyon, France, where they've never gone before. So these guys, the fans are so hungry to see these performers. So they're going nuts. Plus, you know, European crowd, they're soccery. So they're going to get a little kooky. And it's a very interesting strategy. And I'm almost wondering, you know, the trend I think kind of started with Elimination Chamber last year, you know, up in Montreal, even though, you know, it's technically not overseas, but then, you know, going to Puerto Rico, which now once again, it's still American territory, but you know, it's not a place where WWE typically goes. You know, Clash at the Castle, then you go to, you know, you're going to Perth and so on. Is this something that WWE may just stick with this strategy and say, you know what, we're going to take these PLEs around the world to different locations? You know, the Americans get to see this all the time. We're going to go international locations. We're going to get hot crowds. We're going to make a lot of money. And we'll just keep the other ones from the most part in the United States and we're good.
I think spreading it out is a good thing. I mean, the American crowd isn't going to miss professional wrestling because they see it multiple times a week,
right?
On their television set. And so spreading it out and then having that American crowd, seeing the reactions that the international crowd has and their energy is going to feed an American crowd. I think it's so smart in that kind of respect. I think then you're seeing these larger draws that are overseas. I think that's going to be good to drive up more interest on the American live events as well. There's even with like independent companies, like the companies that stay in like their local area, they get that certain draw. Like, okay, that's great. But now imagine if you had that buzz and energy and then you went to another city 4 hours away, can you continue that and grow there? And with an engine like the WWE, you know, this is a model for success for them. And I'm really looking forward to them continuing this. I think there is that little side buzz you get from some fans of, oh no, they're gonna leave us in the America and we're not gonna have WrestleMania anymore. No, that's okay. No, like chill out. The WWE is a United States company. It's going to live in the United States. Okay, they're gonna go overseas for a week every couple months. Great.
Yeah,
let them do that.
Yeah, it only expands the company, only makes it better. And I think it's a role model for, you know, and personally, if I'm AEW, I'm seeing this. Yeah, and I think WWE kind of picked that up too when AEW went to London with All In. Mm-hmm. They had to have seen that success and said, wow, maybe we're missing something here. And lo and behold, when you have the machine that can do it all the time, as opposed to maybe AEW, who doesn't have the money to do that constantly. You know, WWE's like, yeah, we'll just dip in the bank and yeah, we'll go here, we'll go there. And write another check. Off we go. You know, it makes sense. It really does. It makes sense.
And it, you know, one of the cool things that I thought when I in this last tour of the places they've gone is seeing the talent post that how they're enjoying the city or wherever mm-hmm. they whatever country they're in too. And it's like, that's cool too, because you're giving your talent that opportunity because they live a life that's on the road and they don't get a chance to go, you know what, I really need a vacation. So this is almost like giving them a little bit of a break while they're still at work. So they can explore and check out the sites and see another country for the, maybe the first time. And I think that's a very cool part of what they're doing as well.
Yeah. And it's important to connect with that fan base, and you're making new fans and bringing those people closer together, because now they're going to have that experience. Mm-hmm. You know, those people, for example, in France, they were in France and Austria and I think Italy. And now those people are going to have something that they're going to be able to talk about for years to come. They're going to tell their friends. And when WWE, maybe they don't come back for another 4 or 5 years, but when they do, man, they're going to pack the house. They're going to pack it, because they're going to have heard what they missed and seen what they missed on TV. And it's great business, great business. So I think they'll keep that rolling. It's it was fun to watch. They may have got a little carried away, but it was fun to watch. Yeah, they're French. What do you
mean?
It's fine. All right. Hey, let's take a break. Yeah, let's take a break. We got a lot more of Phil Stamper, the president of wrestling. Are you up for election soon, Phil?
Oh, I just have a rolling deal. It's
totally rolling fine. Deal. All right, fair enough. Stick around, everybody. We've got a whole lot more on the Mark Hoke Show here on KDON 101.5 FM, the talk of Las Vegas, as we keep it rolling, the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment. So stick around, everybody. Oh, man, I've got so much more to discuss, but can I make Phil sing on the show? Can I do it? We might. We might have to. A lot more to come. We'll be right back.
FM, KDON.
This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Come on, let's do some more pro wrestling. Me and Phil Stamper. I don't know if tag team or I should just beat him up.
Sir, how dare you?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. Most days.
Plus, you don't know exactly where I'm at, but I know where to find you every Sunday morning.
You do? You can bring a few friends down. It's all right.
Okay.
Hey, when you come to Vegas, because you're coming, I know you're coming here sometime soon. Just everybody's, I got to put something together. I really do. All these, you know, we got everybody coming in town for Double or Nothing. Now we got WrestleMania.
Right.
We got these TNA events. And Revolver's got to get out. You guys have got to do a show here sometime. You got to.
So, I mean, even before we knew Mania was going to come, there's been some conversations. You know, now it's going to become a very crowded market very quickly. So there's some conversations to be had. And Sammy's been with TNA all weekend, so I haven't actually been able to talk to him yet. So, you know, there's going to be some things that will be coming, but I can't guarantee. I'll be very honest. I can't guarantee anything because we haven't looked at anything, because we had to wait for the announcement to happen so we knew exactly where we were going to go.
All right.
Because, you know, we were in that, like, so is it Minneapolis and we just need to pick a weekend? Like,
well, when you guys are here, I would love to join you and have a great time. So, and if you come out a little sooner, decide you just want to throw a fun show out here, you know, bring a few of the boys out and the ladies, we'll have a good time. All right.
Sounds good. Have a good time.
Phil Stamper. Trust in Phil on X. I still can't get that right all the time.
Yeah, I still call it Twitter.
Yeah, it's just I gotta talk to Elon about that.
Maybe X.com, but it's Twitter.
Yeah, it's Twitter in our hearts. All right. Well, I just want to wrap up Backlash a little bit. Just some overall thoughts on what happened in the ring. You know, the ladies match, tag match was I'm still not sure what happened in the last 5 minutes of that match, but it didn't. It was great to see Bianca and Jade win the tag titles. I think it's a cool tag team. But boy, that match was just kind of it got a little weird.
Yeah.
I still haven't figured out who was legal, who wasn't, and why that even had to happen. I don't know. I didn't go back and watch it again to decipher the whole thing, but that didn't help Jade. And even if it wasn't her fault, which I still don't know if it was or wasn't, but that didn't help Jade at all. Thoughts?
I agree. I'm right there with you on all of it. I'm like, yeah.
It was just bizarre. You'd have to, I guess you got to go back and watch the match, but there was, you know, Kyrie was Kyrie wasn't legal. And then Asuka was outside the ring anyway, even though she wasn't the legal person, or she was the legal person, and they still made a tag. And yeah, it was confusing, but this, it will be an intriguing tag team to watch, to see what those two do. But I do think it puts Jade in a good position, because I think if you're looking for a role model for Jade Cargill on what to do in the ring with someone who's such an incredible athlete like her, I don't know if you could do better than Bianca.
You're right. I guess you're absolutely right. I mean, I think it's a smart pairing. I think, you know, this way it gives, you have someone for my brain is like slowly dying. Can you see it? Someone for Jade to work with and communicate with, you know, even though she's no stranger to the ring, she is new to the WWE product and production and how all that runs. So having somebody that like, oh, I'm here with somebody very knowledgeable who can help guide me on this path a little bit, that is the WWE. And even just to get the production cues, like even just on that side of things alone. All right. So you have somebody that's beneficial for you to work off of and work with. I mean, if I was to forecast perhaps for maybe something that could happen in Las Vegas in a year, you know, maybe this down the road, they might be tag champions today, but maybe rivals in a year from now.
Yeah.
You know, eventually that's going to happen. We're already talking about the end of a team that just is really starting, but
hey, that's okay. That's what we're supposed to do.
Right.
Yeah, we're pro wrestling guys. We think ahead. We see destruction before it, way before it even is right. Close to occurring. So that's all right.
I mean, just like the eventual fan destruction once Cody Rhodes turns heel.
Whoa, bringing that home too. Boy, everybody's starting on that. Why is everybody starting on Cody turning heel?
So let's face it. When he was in AEW, when he became Homelander Cody Rhodes, I was like, all right, man, like it's time. And he didn't turn heel, even though there was like teases of it. I think you were watching in the ring. It never really became that. But man, if he was to turn heel in the WWE, the uproar that would cause, I think, would bring attention. And I mean, they're going to ride Cody Rhodes for as long as they can in this momentum that they have. We'll talk about the match in a second, but like, I do feel they're going to use him as long as they can, but whatever that turn is, whatever that may be, like there's even in my brain, a pocket idea of how they could make Cody heel and The Rock comes back as the face. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of ideas you can play, and that's some of the fun of pro wrestling. You don't know what's going to happen next.
Right. Yeah. You know, it is funny. Cody is playing such a super sweetheart, man. You could see it. I mean, it's funny. I was thinking about it because when I was watching him, you see him go to the ring and it's just like the ultra smile and the, you know, just cuddling up with the fans, and it's almost too much, you know, I'm not putting him down or anything, but it's almost like when you watch a movie and you see that the hero is just being maybe a little too hero-y, you know what I mean? There's just like, he's flawless, and you know there's a flaw there somewhere. When's it going to pop up?
So, you know, one of the things that, and, you know, I hope I'm not foreshadowing in the wrong way. And what I mean by that is, you know, we've seen patterns and cycles in the world of professional wrestling, especially the WWE, and how fans respond. And so it's like, okay, Cody's now won. What is the next part of that chapter? Like, where do you go to? And I say that for two reasons, because you've seen somebody like a Drew McIntyre, who I hope that they keep him in a certain momentum and lane where he's still this like top guy, but maybe just nasty about of these different opportunities that have fallen him, but you've seen other guys who've completely just fallen away. And so it's sort of like, if you keep Cody going in the same direction, you get one of two things. You get what people hated about John Cena, which is it's always John Cena, always doing the same thing all the time. Oh my gosh, I'm tired of seeing John Cena. Or is it the second, which is like, oh, there's going to be a new evolution of then what Cody Rhodes is, what pushes him to the next level? What is the next tweak of the American Nightmare that we get? If some bigger thing is now to befall him, if he has to fight through a different kind of struggle, or is he just going to always be the downtrodden babyface who gets the crap beat out of him on SmackDown leading into the pay-per-view, and then he gives a receipt on the thing that happens to him on SmackDown at the pay-per-view, and that's what people are coming to expect now. I don't know. I want to see where they go with it. I hope it is for the success of everybody. The interesting thing about WrestleMania, since we talk about it so much, and I'm teasing it a little bit with what I think it might happen, is that some wrestling fans have gotten so burned out by mainstream wrestling that they'll only watch Mania. So like they just watched Mania a month ago, and the next pay-per-view they're going to watch is next year's Mania. Hmm. And so there is a little bit of that too, that okay, they're telling a story now between Mania to Mania because they know not all of the fans are sticking around all year long. Plus, even for the fans that are, Mania is no longer sort of like the season finale event. It is no longer the culmination of all of these different storylines that get the final payoff at Mania. Sometimes it starts a storyline. Sometimes it's the middle of somebody's story. It happened that it was the end of one chapter of Cody's story, and now on to another one. So there's a lot of different play that they have now. Plus, it's their opportunity to showcase to the mainstream audience, wow, we are the huge spectacle. Pro wrestling is this amazing event. And maybe they'll bring in a televised star to be featured in and involved in something, because that gets some mainstream appeal in as well. So it isn't always that typical kind of WrestleMania event that we think of, like when we were kids, that all of these things that have been happening for months and months and months are now going to be paid off at Mania. And that's also been a criticism, because not this year, but in some previous years, it was a lot of like, did they just put these matches for Mania together in the last week? And so, you know, now we do have some really good builds, and I hope WWE absolutely maintains that momentum. But yeah, I'm really interested in seeing how it all develops and how it all comes together for next year.
Yeah, and of course, once again, culminating here in Las Vegas. If you didn't hear, we've got WrestleMania 41. Easter weekend, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Easter. I wonder if Cody's going to face off with the Easter Bunny. Or if he keeps this up, maybe he'll be in a tag team with Jesus. I just blew Phil Stamper's mind. I'm sorry. I did go there, and I apologize. God, forgive me.
Yeah. But you know the Easter Bunny's getting beat up.
The Easter Bunny is going to get shoved in a Prime bottle. I have a feeling it's going to be the Easter Bunny in the Prime bottle.
Fair.
Yeah. Fair. You know, it should be. Let's see. Well, you know, with that, I think that's a great place to take a break and get into our final segment. But when we come back, we have to talk about this. The phenomenon that is Joe Hendry.
Oh, I'm ready.
Oh, my God. If you didn't hear this story, it is something else. And I'm going to sing on the air. I don't know if Phil's going to have the guts to do it. But you know what? I believe in Joe Hendry enough, and he deserves it for what he pulled off. But we're going to, you know, talk about marketing yourself a little bit, because it was pretty fascinating what he pulled off over the past week. So stick around, everybody. We've got a whole lot more on the Mark Hoke Show. Phil Stamper, the president of wrestling. Follow him on X at Trust and Phil. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Vegas, The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Now, here again is Mark Hoke.
And we are back for the final segment of The Mark Hoke Show today here on KDON 101.5 FM, the talk of Las Vegas, streaming live on the Odyssey app. And we are live streaming on YouTube and Facebook. And I've got one of my favorite guests, and I just love this guy to death, Phil Stamper from Pro Wrestling Revolver, having a great time. And Phil, you just look, for those that aren't on the live stream, by the way, Phil has got just a black background. I mean,
it's simple. It's easy. It's clean.
It's dark. It's dark.
I could pull out the green screen, but I don't know what I would put on the background right now.
It's all good. I'm just having fun with it. But I've got to get into this, because for this story took over wrestling for a few days. Mm-hmm. Joe Henry from TNA, who, of course, does all, you know, has a musical background. Also does have a marketing background, by the way. He's been around for a while. Does all these parody videos and stuff, and just has been torturing AJ Francis in TNA. And I mean torturing him. It's been something incredible to watch. Well, he decided that he was going to make a push with his intro music. Okay. And if you haven't heard the intro music, I mean, if you're just a WWE guy and, you know, you don't know it, this is it. And Phil, you know the song, right?
Oh yeah.
You know this tune. So hopefully I'm not going to get a copyright violation, but here it is. Are we ready? We're going to all do this together, because it's a great little tune.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry. Cause he loved London and Paris and Tokyo, America, Scotland and Canada and Mexico. They say, I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry.
Well, I almost got too excited there. But anyway, so that's Joe Henry's music. And, you know, he gets the guitar part, and I'll leave it playing in the background to finish up. But it's like a minute 12.
It is it's very catchy. That's it, the thing. It's
really easy. Yeah, so you got to wave your hands from side to side, right? There we go.
I believe in Joe Hendry.
So he gets everybody going with this and all his parody songs. It just does a terrific job. So Joe thought it'd be kind of fun to make a push to get on the charts in the UK. So he put the plea out on social media. Say, everybody, start downloading this. Well, lo and behold, Joe Hendry took over the UK iTunes charts. And not only that, he took over in a bunch of other countries. Mm-hmm. He got to number 6 here in the US. Unfortunately, he did not win the week. I think it was on some technicalities. But he was number 4. I think he was given credit for like number 4 in downloads and number 6 in sales in the UK. Unbelievable effort by him to make this social media push. I mean, he put a ton of effort into this. And the support of the wrestling fans was amazing on this too, for Joe, who's, you know, just, you know, mostly been out there on the indies and doing TNA, to pull this off. Phil, what did you think of this? I mean, this was something really special and cool for Joe. He just deserved it.
So I felt bad, because I didn't realize how long he has had a version of this song. Because basically, at least since 2019,
yes,
he's had the I Believe in Joe Henry, a little bit remixed here and there. And so I was like, oh, wait a minute. It's the same song from Ring of Honor. Oh, that was the same song. Oh, I'm a dummy. But to see what he was able to do, it speaks kind of what we're speaking about with Mania. Like, the fact that somebody can leverage wrestling fans that quickly and garner that much appreciation. I mean, still in the UK charts, he's 32nd. Worldwide, he's 112. And you might like, oh, just 112?
Oh,
like,
yeah, come on.
He's over like songs with like from Jelly Roll. There was a new song from Ed Sheeran that he's higher than on the charts right now. So it's interesting. Part of me then, you know, I know now he's doing, like you said, these parody songs that he'll do here and there. There's been a couple more in the last couple of weeks. So I'm curious, like, maybe he should put more things out there. Like, it may then garner some other success, especially in the music world, but then also feed it in the wrestling life. Like, I think it's a great idea. I think, you know, go with it, continue it. Let's see what happens next.
Yeah, and it just goes to show, I think, number one, I mean, you know, he's an incredibly creative guy, and to be able to do what he did, you know, I think it shows that he's a really special performer. You know, whether he can parlay this into, you know, something bigger in the wrestling career is one thing, but, you know, I think it also shows the wrestling fans out there, you know, they get a lot of crap for some of the things that they say and do, but when it comes to pulling together, you know, there's nobody like him. There's really not, you know, and you know, I appreciate the people who listen to my show and you know, here in Vegas and download it and everything else, and you know, it means the world. And I'm sure, Phil, you know, you feel the same way with your work. It's and you know, for them to do what they did for him, just a great feeling. It really is. It's cool, and I'm so happy for him to get the success. Especially, I know he puts a ton of work into his music. So awesome, way to go out there, gang.
Now it's very cool.
Now me, Phil, and I'll do a duet. I don't know what we write, but yeah.
Well, we're not quite coast to coast. No offense, less, our Nevada's not on the coast. I'm on a coast.
You're on a coast. Close to coast to coast.
Right. Close to coast to coast. I like that idea.
I'll work on it. We'll see if we can come up with something for a minute. But yeah, I just want to make sure we covered that story because it was definitely running the show for a while in the pro wrestling world, to say the least. I guess we probably ought to talk about Jack Perry and the Elite real quick too, and what's going on with those guys. Hey, AEW's got a storyline that's running through everything for once.
That is good. Again.
Yes, it's great. Why are people destroying this story? I don't get it.
So, I mean, well, one, because they've been disappointed, and you know how wrestling fans are, like I was just saying about WWE, like, is the cyclical, or are we going to see it fall apart? That's one thing. The second is, some of this is very obvious about some things that they are going to do. I'm not going to spoil it. So people are a little feeling like, we see the next step. Is that really what's going to happen? And it's almost like they're making a judgment call on it. And because for so long, it's not that AEW doesn't have rudders. It's that nobody was letting any one of those rudders be the guiding force of where their ship was heading. And that caused conflict, that caused problems. And it's taken so many people. And maybe this is finally the wake-up call that AEW needed, like, get your stuff together. But then you watch sometimes the product and you're like, wow, that was not the best. And that's on your television program. Dude,
yeah,
or dudette, or like, and so that's been some struggle, and there's been some other things that they could have capitalized on that they did, you know, and
but they're still figuring it out, you know.
And that's been the struggle, you know. They didn't come they didn't come out of the womb ready to go on television. They had to build to it. They started doing pay per views before they'd ever had a pay per view before, like. They needed to work into some things, and now they're just kind of doing it. And I do think that does cost them at times, and that's why they needed some of those clear rudders. And it's interesting because on the on Swerve's podcast, he's recently had like Will Ospreay on, and they've talked about some of those guiding forces in AEW that have really helped them. You know, Chris Jericho, a Dean Malenko, a Billy Gunn, and it's like, here are the people that we need to listen to. And the people that seem to listen to them seem to get better. And the people who don't, because they think they're too hot and like, oh, look, I'm on television now. I don't need to learn anything else because I've already gone to the pinnacle.
Ugh.
Aren't going to succeed and will leave thinking, well, now I know what I'm doing so I can go on elsewhere. And no, because you didn't showcase what you could have done when you had the opportunity.
Yeah.
So why would we be interested in you? And that some of those folks are not realizing that. And I think it is a struggle and it needs to be fixed. And I'm hoping these are all the right steps that they're finally taking in order to bring us the product we really want and need.
Yes. Thank God. Well, speaking of products, tell everybody a little bit about Revolver before we get you out of here, bud.
So the Wrestling Revolver travels around the country, typically has events in Iowa, Texas, and Ohio in a rotation. We next return to Dayton, Ohio on Friday, May 17th for an event aptly called Another Friday. It'll feature John Moxley. It'll feature Ethan Page, Sammy Callahan. Maybe myself. Alex Shelley, who is our current world champion, will be in action. So the Rascals will be there. So much action. I want you to be there. Check out ProWrestlingRevolver.com or all of our social media at PW Revolver.
Damn, that's good. That sounds like a great card. Holy cow.
I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be exciting. And right now, actually, we're doing a promo contest because one of the things we want to do is incorporate more young talent onto the events. We want to bring in those new faces. So we're doing a promo contest right now. Check out our social media for more information.
Oh, man. I'll have to tweet that out. Send that. Make sure I get a hold of that because I think there's some people in Vegas that might be very interested in that.
A certain OG submission gangsta has submitted his video.
Uh-oh. I know that guy. Oh, man. Well, hey, that's going to wrap it up for us. Phil Stamper at Trust and Phil on X. Thank you again for coming on the show. A great time and fantastic information for all our listeners. Had fun, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you got it. And that is going to do it for us on The Mark Hoke Show. Follow us on X at Mark Hoke Show, Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show. Just The Mark Hoke Show everywhere, MarkHokeShow.com. It's real simple, guys. But what's not simple is doing a great show and having terrific fans like you guys. We love you to death. We'll see you next time on K-Dawn. Have a terrific Sunday, Las Vegas.
Want more of The Mark Hoke Show? Follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show. Like us on Facebook at The Mark Hoke Show. And visit MarkHokeShow.com to keep up with everything happening with the show. And remember to check out all of our archive shows on YouTube at The Mark Hoke Show. And download our podcasts at MarkHokeShow.podbean.com and all your favorite podcast outlets. So join The Mark Hoke Show family today. And thanks for listening.